VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's going to be a news roundup day today. There's been a lot going on this week, and we'll focus quite a bit on the impeachment aspect to it and a number of other issues as well. We'll also give you opportunity to call in later on the program to express your thoughts on the matters. We're going to begin, though, delving into the impeachment issue. From the Daily Signal, the Democrat-controlled House voted Wednesday night to approve two articles of impeachment against President Trump after about some 10 hours of debate. The House charged the president with abusing his power. That vote 229 to 197, obstructing Congress 228 to 198. Justin Amash of Michigan, elected as a Republican but recently turned independent, voted for both articles of impeachment. Two Democrats, Colin Peterson of Minnesota, Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, voted no on both articles. Van Drew indicated over the weekend he planned to become a Republican. And a third Democrat, Jared Golden of Maine, voted no on the charge of obstructing Congress. Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii voted present on both charges. The outcome makes Donald Trump the third president in American history to be impeached by the House of Representatives. From townhall.com, laughs, smiles, and applause. Does that sound like a solemn day to you? Throughout Wednesday's debate on the House floor over impeaching the president, Democrats cracked jokes about wanting to impeach him months before he even called the Ukrainian president, and others applauded while other colleagues painted him as an unconstitutional ogre. It was interesting that there was even one putting up a poster of children in cages as being a basis for impeachment. Folks, it had nothing to do with that whatsoever. As has been pointed out, the process of impeachment began on the very day that he was inaugurated as president. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi promised that this was going to be a sad and prayerful day, but as soon as the Speaker announced the yeas had it, a few Democrats began to applaud, and that petered out pretty quickly as Nancy Pelosi gave them a dagger of a look. The Western Journal reports that Pelosi suggested Wednesday that she would not send articles of impeachment over to the Senate until she is satisfied that there would be a, quote, fair trial, you know, like he had fairness in the House. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell responded to the possible delay yesterday, saying the Democrats may be too afraid to even transmit their shoddy work product to the Senate. Pelosi had told reporters at a news conference just moments after the House voted to impeach Trump, "So far, we haven't seen anything that looks fair to us. That is not her role. Her role is to turn this over to the Senate." And what's also interesting is that she refused to take comments and questions from reporters following this event, wanting to talk about other things. Let's talk about trade. Let's talk about jobs. Let's talk about, you know, things America wants to talk about. Well, the reporters were wanting to talk about this impeachment and the stalling tactics that she has going on now. But she wouldn't entertain those questions. Well, Thursday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell condemned Democrats' partisan crusade of impeachment, warning that Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives crossed a political Rubicon and opened the Pandora's box of subjective political impeachments. Why don't you hear just a little bit of what Mitch McConnell had to say? We don't have time for his whole speech, but listen in.
Here's what the chairman effectively said and what one of his committee members restated just this week. If the president asserts his constitutional rights, it's that much more evidence he's guilty. If the president asserts his constitutional rights, it's that much more evidence he's guilty. That kind of bullying is antithetical to American justice. So those are House Democrats' two articles of impeachment. That's all their rushed and rigged inquiry could generate. An act that the House does not even allege is criminal, and a nonsensical claim that exercising a legitimate presidential power is somehow an impeachable offense. Mr. President, this is by far the thinnest basis for any House-passed presidential impeachment in American history.
He went on to say that the Democrats' own actions concede their allegations are unproven. The allegations are not just unproven. They're also legally incoherent, he said. If the Senate blesses this historically low bar, we will invite the impeachment of every single future president. Also from FoxNews.com, Senate Majority Leader McConnell set the stage yesterday for a potentially bruising fight between the leadership of the two chambers over impeachment as he tore into Nancy Pelosi, her work there, and said Democrats may be too afraid to send the articles. He said this particular House of Representatives has let its partisan rage at this particular president create a toxic new precedent that will echo well into the future. He said that on the floor. And also from CNSNews.com, Mitch McConnell said that the Senate should employ the unanimous template from 1999. He said this prior to the House vote in a Senate floor speech. He said that since all 100 senators in 1999 approved the impeachment process used in the trial of President Bill Clinton, then the Senate should apply that same process when it comes to President Donald Trump. Number one, a briefing. Number two, opening arguments. Number three, senators' questions with no witnesses. Number four, vote on the motion to dismiss the charges. And number five, a trial with questioning of witnesses if the motion to dismiss fails. But I guess that's not deemed to be fair by Nancy Pelosi. FoxNews.com reports President Trump in a blistering, no-holds-barred six-page letter Tuesday to Speaker Pelosi lambasted the Democrats' impeachment inquiry writing, saying you have cheapened the importance of the very ugly word impeachment. He hammered Pelosi for daring to invoke the Founding Fathers in pursuit of this election nullification scheme, and even worse, for offending Americans of faith by continually saying, quote, I pray for the president, when you know this statement is not true unless it's meant in a negative sense. The president added, quote, it's a terrible thing you are doing, but you will have to live with it, not I. And regarding the abuse of power count, the president noted that former Vice President Joe Biden had bragged on video about having Ukraine's prosecutor fired by threatening to withhold $1 billion in U.S. military aid, but House Republicans have been barred by Democrats from calling witnesses that would help make the case that President Trump's concerns about Ukraine corruption were legitimate. More due process was afforded to those accused in the Salem witch trials, the president said. Well, Gabby Gifford has come under fire as well by AOC. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez criticized Gabbard, and I'm sorry, that's Tulsi Gabbard, not Gabby Gifford. Tulsi Gabbard, a fellow Democrat for voting present on articles of impeachment, saying, quote, today was very consequential, and not to take a strong stand one way or another on a day of such great consequence to this country, I think is quite difficult. Ocasio-Cortez said after the votes, we are here to lead. Gabbard put out a long statement explaining her present votes are wanting to make a stand for the center. She wrote, after doing my due diligence in reviewing the 658-page impeachment report, I came to the conclusion that I could not in good conscience vote either yes or no. From, this would be LifeNews.com, Democratic New Jersey Representative Jeff Van Drew officially switched to the Republican Party on Thursday after informing his staff about his intention to do so. Van Drew, and from CNSNews.com, invoked party bosses, God, and Ronald Reagan as he described his political evolution, saying, I've been a Democrat for a lot of years, but at a recent meeting with a loyal county chair in the Democratic Party, Van Drew said he was ordered to vote for Trump's impeachment or else. Van Drew said the official told him, I will do everything to destroy you. He talked for a while, but making his final point, he said, Ronald Reagan is one of my heroes, and when he said, I didn't leave my party left me, and I'm saying the same thing. He said, I'm a capitalist. Socialism, in my opinion, has no place in the United States of America. I think everyone should know that. He said the New Green Deal is something that we should never, ever even think about doing. And he said, and that's something what I think Republicans represent, lower taxes, balancing the budget, honoring our police, our fire, our rescue, our veterans, our soldiers, these men and women. You have my undying support, he said to the president. The LifeNews.com says in a late Wednesday night post-impeachment tweet, Washington Post congressional reporter Rachel Bade flaunted how she and four other journalists from the paper were celebrating President Trump's impeachment. Merry impeachmas from the WAPO team, Washington Post team. She shared a picture of them around a restaurant table with food and at least a couple of beers. Interesting, three of the five newspaper writers involved are CNN political analysts. Coming from the Daily Wire, attorneys representing House Democrats have told a federal court that House Democrats intend to continue impeachment investigations against President Donald Trump after they vote on impeachment, regardless of the eventual outcome of the Senate's impeachment trial. In a filing to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, House General Counsel Douglas Letter argued that the House's demands for grand jury materials connected to former counsel Robert Mueller's investigation are still urgent because such evidence might become relevant to the Senate's expected impeachment trial next month. And folks, this is unbelievable where this is going. From lifenews.com, this is a story printed yesterday. Talking to Congressman James Clyburn on Thursday, CNN New Day co-host John Berman had no response when the Democrats set up a Senate impeachment trial for Donald Trump. He said, let's give him a fair trial and hang him. Here's the context. Berman and Clyburn were discussing a possible delay in delivering the articles of impeachment. The Democrat called for the need to avoid a kangaroo court run by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Folks, the kangaroo court was happening in the U.S. House and in the committees chaired by Schiff and Nadler. But listen what this Representative James Clyburn said on CNN as he is being questioned, by co-host John Berman. Here we go.
How long are you willing to wait?
As long as it takes. Even if he doesn't come around to committing to a fair trial, keep those articles here. So keep it as long as it takes. If you know and he's told you what he's going to do, it's almost like let's give him a fair trial and hang him. I mean, it's the verse of that.
As long as it takes. Are you willing to hold the articles indefinitely if Mitch McConnell doesn't concede the points that you're asking him to? Are you suggesting it's possible you will never transmit the articles of impeachment?
If it were me, yes, that's what I'm saying.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Townhall.com, prominent evangelist Billy Graham's publication, Christianity Today, yesterday penned an editorial explaining why they believe President Donald Trump should be impeached and removed from office. The editorial board admits Democrats have had it out for President Donald Trump since day one, and nearly everything they do is under a cloud of partisan suspicion, but they see his actions as a violation of the Constitution and profoundly immoral. Evangelist Franklin Graham has responded to the editorial from the Christianity Today. He said they released an editorial stating that President Trump should be removed from office. They invoked my father's name, I suppose, to try to bring legitimacy to their statement. So I feel it important for me to respond. Yes, my father, Billy Graham, founded Christianity Today, but no, he would not agree with their opinion piece. In fact, he would be very disappointed. I have not previously stated who my father voted for in the past election, but because of this article, I find it necessary to share it now. My father knew Donald Trump. He believed in Donald Trump, and he voted for Donald Trump. He believed that Donald J. Trump was a man for the hour in the history of our nation. He said, for Christianity Today to side with the Democratic Party in a totally partisan attack on the presidents of the United States is unfathomable. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars, and now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
a news roundup day here on Crosstalk, and that's about all we'll have on impeachment stories. We could certainly have the whole program today. Certainly you can comment on that later as we open up the phone lines. Interesting poll, though, coming out by Emerson and Rasmussen indicating President Trump has a stunning 34% approval rating among black voters. That's the highest levels of the year. It's fueled by a strong economy, historically low black unemployment, support for minority small businesses and black colleges, passage of criminal justice reform, reports the Washington Examiner. Significant jumps have been going into the approval ratings from the African-American community to President Donald Trump. Also, President Trump made it clear Monday, that he intends to participate in at least three general election debates, but he's threatening to sidestep the nonprofit group who sponsors these with these debates themselves. Trump said that his record is so good that perhaps I would consider more than three debates. But he said, as president, the debates are up to me. There are many options, including doing them directly and avoiding the nasty politics of this very biased commission. The president wrote, adding that he would make a decision at an appropriate time. That's the story on OneNewsNow.com. And also, incidentally, from the Free Beacon, a super PAC led by liberal operative David Brock has dropped more than $2 million into advertisements against President Donald Trump. Filings are showing the American Bridge PAC, a Democratic opposition research committee, disclosed $250,000 in new independent expenditures for advertising against Donald Trump, according to filings posted on the FEC site. The new disbursement comes on the heels of $1.96 million the group spent on similar efforts in mid-November of 2019. Just a couple days ago, we had Peter LaBarbera on Crosstalk, and we spoke about this new bill that was introduced, the Fairness for All Act, H.R. 5331, in the U.S. House of Representatives. This one backed by and instigated by Republicans. Republicans that are instituting this and putting this forward. Now, we've had some people say, well, don't you know that they've already passed the Equality Act? Yes, we know that, and we reported that many times. But this is H.R. 5331, the Fairness for All Act, and it's being backed by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's being backed by the National Association of Evangelicals. It's being backed by the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, and other religious groups. And a couple people called in and said, well, what brand of Seventh-day Adventist did that? People called in and said, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. I don't stand for this. Well, I went to the Adventist website, the nadventist.org, and find that over the past few years, and I'm quoting directly from the Adventist website, Seventh-day Adventist advocates from both the General Conference and North American Division have worked with other groups to draft a unique piece of federal legislation, the Fairness for All Act. So those of you that were inquiring as to which Seventh-day Adventists were behind this, it is the General Conference and the North American Division. The legislation extends much, what they say right from their article, much needed civil rights protections to LGBT individuals and acknowledges that they should never be subjected to discrimination and harassment in secular employment, housing, or many other commonly protected areas. Protections currently lacking in 29 states, Fairness for All, in essence, says there's a clear and principled way forward toward this difficult cultural and legal landscape. So those of you within that denomination, you can further check that out internally, but you'll find it right there on the Seventh-day Adventist website. Okay, that's the reporting from nadventist.org. Okay, for those of you, and I mentioned this morning at our 8 o'clock program locally, but the Green Bay Packers, one of the most storied franchises in the National Football League, has certainly won a lot of distinctions through the years, you know, that first ever Super Bowl decades ago. And now we have an issue as on Wednesday, December 4th, 2019, the Green Bay Packers Foundation, I'm reading from lifenews.com, Green Bay Packers Foundation released their annual grant fund recipients. Among the 192 grantees was Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin Incorporated, Milwaukee. The Packers Foundation made a record-setting $2.05 million in donations to organizations, most of which are non-controversial. But we find that they did fund Planned Parenthood. They are the nation's largest abortion business. Planned Parenthood that annually kills more than 330,000 babies in abortions, reports LifeNews.com. Its foundation, Pro-Life Wisconsin, said the gift to the abortion business directly contradicts their mission. If the foundation truly wanted to promote families and ensure the safety of children, they would not be financially investing in an organization that violently destroys children's lives each and every day, PLW said. There's an action alert. If you'd like to contact the Green Bay Packers Foundation, you can do so. You can find them on the web, but here's a phone number that you may call, which is 920-569-7500. 920-569-7500. And you can ask, why in the world would you be supporting an organization? Why would the Green Bay Packer Foundation support an organization that claims the lives of innocent babies in the womb? Matter of fact, if you look at the Green Bay Packer Foundation mission, they are to support charities possessing one or more of the following goals: perpetuates a community environment that promotes families and the competitive values of athletics, contributes to player and fan welfare, and ensures the safety and education of children and/or prevents cruelty to animals. How does the killing of life in the womb lend toward the safety and education of children? Again, if you'd like to contact the Green Bay Packer Foundation with your thoughts, the number 920-569-7500. From LifeSiteNews.com, the Republican-controlled U.S. Senate voted Wednesday to confirm a judge originally appointed by former President Barack Obama. The passed 66-27. This is Allegheny County Common Pleas Court Judge Robert Colville to a judgeship with the Western District of Pennsylvania. A 2009 voter guide from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Pennsylvania, PAC, describes Colville as endorsed by the National Organization for Women and says he accepts Roe v. Wade, would not hesitate to enforce, recognize, and respect a, and I'm putting this in quote, a woman's right to choose. LifeNews.com reports by next spring, a Tennessee abortion facility hopes to begin welcoming newborn babies in one room and aborting unborn babies in another. The choices Memphis Center for Reproductive Health Executive Director Rebecca Terrell bragged that the facility would be the only nonprofit clinic in the U.S. providing both birth and abortion services under the same roof. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, just be careful what hallway you go down and what room you turn into. It just might be the wrong one. LifeNews.com also reports a lawsuit filed in 1997 accused potential presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg of telling an employee to kill her unborn baby. Sekiko Sike Garrison alleged that Bloomberg referred to her baby and told her to kill it, according to the New York Times. Garrison also alleged that Bloomberg subjected women in his company to repeated and unwelcome sexual comments. Bloomberg has denied that he said this, the Times reports. The lawsuit was settled without Bloomberg admitting any guilt. Townhall.com says former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has made a name for himself as a leader in the gun control movement. He's decided to use his anti-Second Amendment stance to make himself a top tier in the 2020 Democratic field. According to Bloomberg, pro-gun groups like the NRA are trying to thwart public safety. His solution is to appoint judges who understand that the Second Amendment allows for common-sense limits on gun ownership. Time to consult with the Constitution, isn't it? And speaking of gun control, there's a consumer group that is now labeling Nerf guns as assault-style toy weapons. This is a Nerf gun. It shoots a foam dart every time that the user pulls the trigger. A New York-based consumer group is trying to have these removed. They're calling them assault-style toy weapons. A December 3rd letter from the Empire State Consumer Project addressed to the Hasbro Board of Directors is a complaint revolving around military-style Nerf guns. As we watch holiday toy commercials, the group wrote, we see the Nerf Ultra One and the other extreme Nerf machine guns for children and are reminded of mass shootings that have destroyed, or rather devastated, American children and families for decades now. We implore you to remove assault-style toy weapons from your product offering. It continued. New Jersey Assembly and Senate has passed legislation this week that will allow illegal immigrants to obtain driver's licenses. Governor Phil Murphy expecting to sign this. This is coming from townhall.com. The bill allows for two categories of licenses and IDs, one compliant with the Real ID Act that permits the holder to board domestic flights and will identify the holder's citizenship status, and a driver's license, which will not indicate that status. It would not apply to commercial drivers. Oh, so much other news here today. I'll try and get a few more stories in. From the Daily Signal, the House passed two spending bills, $1.4 trillion Tuesday, to fund the federal government through the remainder of fiscal year 2020 that began October 1st. In fact, the House voted on more than 2,000 combined pages of text within 24 hours of introducing the two bills is a troubling symptom of Washington's budget dysfunction, reports the Daily Signal. This is not the way that the budget process is supposed to work, and it leads to wasteful spending and other negative impacts for American taxpayers. Lawmakers must work together to implement reforms that create a better functioning and more responsible budget process. $1.4 trillion. Also, we have the National Defense Authorization Act of 2020 that was passed, as NewAmerican.com reports. The bill to fund the Department of Defense, nearly 3,500 pages long, authorizes $738 billion in defense spending in fiscal year 2020. Congressmen given fewer than 19 hours to read the bill before voting on it. It passed in the House 377 to 48. It gives the president the ability to seek additional stripped out a provision that would have required the president to seek additional congressional approval before committing U.S. military sources to oversee combat operations. Also something that creates the Space Force and the Office of Chief of Space of Operations, another one called the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Space Acquisition and Integration, and there is so much more in that that we will not have time to get into on today's program. Also, from FoxNews.com, a federal appeals court has upheld a lower court's ruling that a key aspect of the Obamacare law is unconstitutional, setting it up for another Supreme Court showdown in a presidential election year. This was struck down by the Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals and has sent it back to a lower court. And when you pull out the individual mandate, the argument is that it just does not stand on its own. From the Western Journal, the Trump administration reportedly expelled two Chinese embassy officials this fall after they attempted to drive onto a military base near Norfolk, Virginia. The New York Times reported on Sunday that American officials believed at least one of the Chinese officials was an intelligence officer operating under diplomatic cover, said six people with knowledge of the expulsions. The group, which has included the officials' wives, evaded military personnel pursuing them and stopped only after fire trucks blocked their path. According to the Times, the base was infiltrated, is home to special operation forces. One such unit is the Elite SEAL Team 6. Back with a few more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny. Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, that not only changes his life, but that of others as well. Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day today on the program, and so much going on. Just like to get a few more stories into the mix here today to certainly burden our hearts to be in prayer. We think of the persecuted church in particular. WND.com is reporting more than 1,000 Christians have been murdered by Islamic militia in Nigeria within the last year, and more than 6,000 since the year 2015. It's the key finding of a new report from the Humanitarian Aid Relief Trust. One pastor said, every day we carry new corpses to the cemetery. They kill farmers, they destroy our homes and churches, they kidnap and rape our women. 1,000 Christians in a year. And in a separate story from CBNNews.com, at least 9 Christians recently murdered in Kenya. Why? For not reciting the Islamic Statement of Faith, the Shahada. The International Christian Concern said the attack occurred earlier this month when 9 Christians who were traveling by bus were separated from the other passengers, killed in northeast Kenya when they would not recite the Islamic Creed, the Shahada. They were paraded out of the bus and shot dead at close range by those believed to be with the Al-Shabaab militants. Let's go over to Norway, LifeSiteNews.com. A new commercial for the Christmas season produced by the Norwegian Postal Service. The Norwegian Postal Service suggests that Christ's conception in the Virgin Mary's womb was not miraculous and that he was really the mailman's son. This ad, folks, the Postal Service in Norway, said to create awareness about posting in a warm, humorous, and surprising way. Folks, there is nothing warm. There's nothing humorous about this. And it's incredibly offensive to Christians. Not only denies Jesus' divinity and the virgin birth, but implies that Mary was also unfaithful to Joseph. Shame on Norway's postal service for running such an ad. From Liberty Council, a property management company of a 55 and older housing development in Independence, Missouri, has banned residents from decorating their duplexes with outside Christmas lights and yard decorations. Liberty Council sent a demand letter to the Maco Management Company, which has prohibited residents from decorating their duplexes with outside Christmas decorations, including lights and yard decorations. Nothing in the lease agreement or regulation supports such a ban. Residents have previously displayed Christmas lights and yard decorations for many, many years, and they have banned that this year. And I saw part of the complaint with being government subsidized, and we have to follow the rules, governments, fair housing rules. Everyone in the complex is funded in part by government funds. We're required to follow the rules. There's no such rule coming out from HUD. Also from NBCNews.com, a transgender Latina makes history as evangelical Lutheran pastor. Nobody can question my faith, my devotion to Christ, my devotion to the church, said Pastor Nicole Garcia, saying being trans is secondary. Garcia stands behind the pulpit at Westview Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado, delivers weekly sermons to a congregation of more than 100 faithful as their ordained pastor. Garcia, who delivered a first sermon at Westview earlier this month, is the first known transgender Latina to serve as a pastor within the 4-million-strong Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. By the way, there's so much coming out of this new Star Wars movie, but as LifeSiteNews.com reports, the latest installment in the decades-long Star Wars saga involves a same-sex kiss between two women who are minor characters. Yes, LGBT kiss going on between females. Director J.J. Abrams stated, and I quote from the article, "In the case of the LGBTQ community, it was important to me that people who go to see this movie feel that they're being represented in the film. Let's open our phone lines today on Crosstalk. If you want to comment on the impeachment, if you want to comment on these or other current event stories, our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Also from LifeSiteNews.com, a Tennessee Republican introduced legislation Monday meant to prevent gender-confused male students from competing against girls in school athletic programs by making state funds contingent on schools adopting a biological understanding of sex. In Tennessee, HB 1572 says, all publicly funded elementary and secondary schools in the state shall require for an official or unofficial school-sanctioned athletic or sporting event that each athlete participating in the athletic or sporting event participates with and competes against other athletes based on the athlete's biological sex as indicated on the athlete's original birth certificate issued at the time of birth. Schools that refuse to do so would become immediately ineligible to continue to receive public funds of any type from the state or local government. Officials who intentionally violate it could also face civil penalties up to $10,000, lose their jobs, and become ineligible for future public office in the state. We are seeing more and more transgender athletes competing and posting victories in traditionally gendered sports competitions and doing so to the detriment of girls and women, biologically born females, stated Republican State Representative Bruce Griffey, who is the bill's lead sponsor. Again, that's legislation introduced in Tennessee to ensure that school athletes compete based on biological sex, not perceived what you desire to be or identify as. It's HB 1572. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We have Lat calling in from Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Jim. In this season of Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ, I just hope that our Democrat politicians, you know, stop playing God and realize that there is only one God and that they need to open up God's Word, which is the Bible, and see that the God of this world is, they are not following His Word, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lat. Stephen in Missouri, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. I care about Donald Trump, and I don't want him to be impeached. But I will tell you, the Democrats, from what I've heard, sir, I hear that a lot of us that don't approve of this don't have a voice, that they've isolated themselves away. And it also with some of the laws they've passed on abortions and teaching our children immoral filth, I'd say they're impeaching Jesus, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but it sounds like they've impeached him, too, or trying to.
Yeah,
we all have to be aware of this.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephen, I understand what you're saying. You're saying, Jesus, you're not welcome here. Get out.
That's right. And anyway, thanks for letting me make my comment, sir.
Thank you, Stephen. Roger in Somerset, Kentucky, you're on the air.
I just wanted to comment about the LGBT themes in the movies. You know, when I got saved and when I started watching television, I realized you can't really watch anything because they're either taking the Lord's name in vain or there's some kind of thing that's anti-biblical on there. And I haven't watched it in years, and I think maybe that's what people need to do. I don't understand Christians who are still watching TV. I'd like to know where they're finding content that's acceptable to watch. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Roger, for that. And, you know, I just hearken back to the interview we did with Dave Cristiano on about two occasions here on the DVD he's produced called a film that we have, The Power of the Air, and addresses that very issue. How is it that we entertain ourselves here across America, film, television programs, movies that take God's name in vain? We use that to entertain ourselves and then somehow go to church on Sunday to praise His name. It's like bitter water and sweet. They don't mix. And we do have copies yet of Power of the Air. You can contact our switchboard, 800-729-9829, or go to vcyamerica.org. If you'd like to hear more about the films, just go to crosstalkamerica.com, and you'll find our interviews there. Stacy in Brookfield, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment about the Trump impeachment with Christianity Today.
Yeah.
Where do I heard it on CNN. CNN has been negative during this whole impeachment process. Where do I hear this? But on CNN. Where is the outlet for Christianity Today? Where are they getting their membership from? And are they talking to the conservative Christian churches or news publications like yourself?
You know, for some years, and this is not my phrase, but people have referred to this not as Christianity Today, but as Christianity Astray. From the standpoint that that there has been such deviation from biblical truth that has taken place. And again, that's not my term. That's one that has been floated for some time. But certainly there is a liberal, a theological liberal bent that is coming through so much of what we read in that magazine.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Ken in Elkhorn, you're on the air.
Yes, I've come to a realization with these. It don't only apply to Democrats, but I say that the life you've lived ends up on your face, and they have no peace about them, and if they ever smiled, their face would break. And we need to pray for our president.
We do. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate your comments today. And all our leaders, whether there's an R behind the name or a D behind the name, we need to uplift them in prayer. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. To Mitchell, South Dakota, Phil, you're on the air.
Yes, this is in regards with members of the Washington Post saying happy impeachments.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's blasphemous for what they said.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Let's go to Lee in Stone Creek, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just finished reading the last 2 days some of the transcripts from the impeachment of President Johnson in the Civil War.
Okay.
And when you look at the mass hysteria that has been going on with this impeachment chaos, really it hasn't changed, because what he did absolutely was impeachable. He was obstructing the reconstruction of the South and just causing all kinds of mayhem, and absolutely refused to cooperate. Yet when the vote was taken, he was not impeached. And I just find it interesting that, you know, even before the man was elected, they was in the process of impeachment.
You're saying he was impeached but not removed from office?
Correct.
Okay.
And then, I don't know about you, but I find it offensive as a Christian for somebody to say, Merry Impeachments. You know, Christmas is about our Lord and Savior, and it has nothing to do with this process.
Thank you for the call here today, Lee, and your thoughts on that issue. We're just seconds away from the break, so we're going to take the break, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829. By the way, the U.S. Navy has begun construction on a ship that will be christened the USNS Harvey Milk after the murdered San Francisco supervisor who made history in the 1970s as the California's first openly homosexual elected official. The man in the U.S. Navy has chosen to honor was a homosexual pederast, reports LifeSiteNews.com. And omitted from most accounts of his life are his alleged sexual relationships with underage boys, the report. But the USNS Harvey Milk, the U.S. Navy has begun construction on the ship that's going to be christened coming through the U.S. Navy. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. I want to talk to you about the danger of discourse, the danger of dialogue. There are 8 problems, but the first one is this. When you're involved in discourse or dialogue with someone, you're accepting their cultural Marxist language. For instance, if they want to have a discourse or dialogue about third way concepts when it comes to white privilege, you're agreeing that there's some kind of white privilege. You're agreeing to their term, white privilege, which means Christianity and capitalism and white Christians, by their very nature, are oppressive and they're holding others down. So when you agree to have a dialogue or a discourse with the cultural Marxist, immediately you're agreeing to their language. And guess what? When they control the language, they control the narrative. And the first way to win a debate is control the language. This is the danger of discourse and dialogue. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day, and we're back to the phone lines, taking your phone calls here to Crystal Falls, Michigan. We have Mary Jane calling, and Mary Jane, you're on the air.
Well, hello. I'm surprised I got through. But anyway, I just wanted to comment on, I believe President Trump was trying to protect the United States by asking the Ukraine president to look into the Hunter Biden's interest in that gas company, as and not because his father was running for the presidential seat, but to protect our country from a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
Okay, thank you, Mary Jane. By the way, folks, USMCA also passed through the House. Billy in Eagle Point, Oregon, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I am looking at an article right now. This is on Facebook, posted by Franklin Graham. And he says, Christianity Today released an editorial stating that President Trump should be removed from office, and they invoked my father's name, mm-hmm. as opposed to try to bring legitimacy to their statements.
Right,
so I
read
feel
that.
It's important for me to respond. Yes, my father, Billy Graham, founded Christianity Today.
Yeah, I read that whole thing. I don't have time for you to read that whole paragraph. Billy, I read that whole thing, okay?
Okay, yeah. Okay, I didn't know you did. But
yeah.
Anyhow, so that brings relief to me because they've gotten very leftist. I mean, come on, you know?
Yeah.
It's time to get off the pot with Trump and start working for the country.
Billy, thank you for your call here today. Yeah, I just didn't have time for that whole paragraph that I had read earlier, and there is even more to the statement than that. Jason in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I heard it said somewhere on the radio, can't remember who or what program, but they're likening the Democrats' march towards impeachment as Pharaoh's armies march towards the Red Sea. I thought that was pretty neat.
Okay, thank you for offering that, Jason.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call here today on Crosstalk. Let's go next to Buckeye Lake, Ohio. Kevin, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about President Trump. I did vote for him, but I think I voted for the lesser of two evils, I hate to say. And I think he's brought a lot of this on himself with his non-professionalism and his way he treats people, and he does not treat people with respect and love and kindness like a Christian president could or would. So I guess that's my comment on that. But and as for the war on Christmas and all these other issues in the world, that we can't expect the world to be Christian when they're not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But we can pray for them and show them love and Jesus through our actions.
So. Indeed, and through our witness, our words as well, Kevin. And that's why you hear me say so often the necessity of us being salt and light.
Amen.
Thank you for
Thank
the call.
You, what you do. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Steve in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
You know, Jim, I'll support the ban on Nerf assault fake guns when this leftist government stops assaulting innocent little children and killing and murdering them in the womb. It's, you know, sometimes, Jim, I just don't even know what to think.
Yeah.
Something so silly, and yet they murder innocent little babies in the womb,
yeah.
And they let that go.
Yeah,
it's almost too much to be even think about.
Isn't it something, Steve? I mean, we can go in with instruments, and we can tear limb from limb this precious human life apart from each other, and we sanction that, saying that is okay. Just don't shoot somebody with a foam dart.
It's... You know, Jim, it's an assault to our intelligence. It's that. It's a sin. I'm a sinner, so I know it will. This is a sin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Steve. Ken, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey there, Jim. Long-time listener, first-time caller. So
So I voted for Trump, and I probably will again if provided with an opportunity to. But I just wanted to remind all my Christian brothers and sisters that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. I'm paraphrasing a verse that I'm sure you know.
Right.
Driving right now. But so really the future of this country hangs in the balance of a spirit war, more so than it does a political war.
Yes.
And I believe that as long as Christians remain on the sidelines being distracted by the circus that goes on in Washington, the spiritual condition of our country will continue to decline right under our noses. And so I think it's good for us to be politically involved and engaged and to support biblical principles, you know, the pro-life and traditional marriage and all that. But let's not be so distracted by what's going on in the world that we forget about the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that, Ken. Yeah, great reminder again, the importance of being salt and light. And it is very much a spiritual battle. And friends, our salvation, our hope does not lie in who occupies the home on Pennsylvania Avenue. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. So we keep our eyes firmly upon him, and as such, we are to be light, that of sharing the good news of the gospel. What better time than right now at Christmas time, as the angels proclaimed, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that's the one we ought to be proclaiming here in such a time as this. Yes, indeed, the reasons why we're having so many issues in our world today is because of that very thing, is that people have neglected to know and understand the Savior has come to this world to save sinful man, of which we are all sinners, and our sin separates us from a righteous, holy God. But praise God that his Son Jesus came. He bore our sin on the cross of Calvary. God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can place our trust on him, in him, the one who took the price for our sins, believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. Praise God for that very aspect. Would like to also just hear, know the importance of us being salt as well, and that is to have that impact upon our society around us, certainly to be a voice of righteousness in a society that has gone wrong, even as we've heard from the prophets of old. By the way, a special commendation here from a story out of KXAN. Family and friends, the oldest married couple in the world, helped them celebrate yet another major milestone. John and Charlotte Henderson, Austin, Texas, celebrating their 80th wedding anniversary. Wedded on December 22nd, 1939. He's 106, she 105, and presented with a Guinness World Record for the oldest married couple. Isn't that something? Well, our time is gone here today and all this weekend Crosstalk. We thank you for joining us for the broadcast today. Folks, keep your eyes on Jesus, and let's proclaim him this Christmas season to a world that needs to know of the Savior. And again, that's where our hope lies. Our hope is in him. Our hope and trust is in the Word of God, and not in the political structure in which governs our nation. Thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.